Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Do you like sports? 'Cause we like sports. Let's talk about sports. It's Sports Shack. Sports Shack. It's Sports Shack.
Welcome to episode 296 of the Sports Yak podcast.
Oh, you mean the Ron Hextall episode.
Hey, Big Ron.
He is big. 6'3", former goalie for the Philadelphia Flyers. Also had a cup of coffee with the Nordiques and the Islanders, but most of his time spent with the Flyers as a 22-year-old took them within one game. They went to Game 7 of the Stanley Cup and lost to Edmonton. My buddy Dave Poulin was on that team. Hextall wound up winning 296 games as a goalie in his NHL career, an outstanding goals against average of 2.98, and now he's the general manager of the Pittsburgh Penguins, which isn't a bad place to be, although Sidney Crosby sidelined for COVID yesterday. But nevertheless, Ron Hextall, episode 296, it's all about you, my man.
I appreciate the Dave Poulin shout-out just now.
You remember him as first an Irish hockey player and then head coach of the Irish for a little while.
Great guy. Yeah. Great guy.
Family Broadcasting Corporation.
Well, the crowd's going wild.
In association with the Studio DNA Podcast Network presents Sports Yak.
Oh my heavens!
One host knows sports.
And who's right there?
The other doesn't know sports, but somehow they meet in the middle. Here's your host, Corey Mann.
Get your big butt out of here!
And Indiana Sports Broadcast Hall of Famer...
This one will be relived...
Chuck Freebie.
Forever!
All right, on today's episode, you got your college basketball, you got your high school basketball, and all the little cornucopia of events in between. But let's start with college.
Let's start with the good news, and that is Purdue. Matt Painter's team wins its fourth straight last night, kind of an emotional night at Mackey Arena as they dedicated the game to Larry Clisby, the longtime Purdue announcer who lost his battle with cancer over the weekend. And the Boilermakers win it by a count of 73-69. Man, they have owned Wisconsin at Mackey Arena. I believe they're now 42-4 against Wisconsin at Mackey. And the kids continue to do it for this Purdue team. This freshman class has been outstanding. Zach Edey, the big 7-footer,
who looks exactly like my son-in-law.
Except he's 7 foot tall. he comes off the bench last night with 21 points and 7 rebounds, one of his best games in a Boilermaker uniform. And then a guy that just continues to get more and more pub, Jaden Ivey, the freshman out of Marion and Lalamere High School, South Bend native, 18 points last night. So that's 39 of Purdue's 73 provided by just those two freshmen. And they go on to beat the Badgers, and Purdue trying to solidify its spot as a top 4 seed for the Big Ten tournament, which would get them a double bye. So that's very important that the Boilermakers finish in the top 4. I like their chances because they only have one game left, and that one game is with the Indiana Hoosiers.
So that was the good news. What's the bad news?
I just said the Indiana Hoosiers.
Wow.
Archibald Miller has filled my Twitter feed with all kinds of goodness today, or badness, as the case may be. Indiana went up and played at East Lansing against a Michigan State team that, if you listen to this program regularly, you know 3 weeks ago, they looked dead to rights. And Hoosiers had the lead for a little while in the first half. And in the second half, there was a timeout called in which Trace Jackson Davis, IU's star player, looks right at the head coach and says, bleep you.
Wow.
And that, to me, is the sign that all control has been lost in Bloomington. The Hoosiers go on to lose the game 64-58. They are now below 500 overall at 13-14. They're well below 500 in the Big Ten. Do you know the last time that Indiana had four consecutive Big Ten seasons where they finished below 500 in the conference?
Tell me.
There was a little conflict called World War I. 1914 to 1919 is the last time that IU basketball teams have finished below 500 for more than four consecutive seasons in the Big Ten, which has prompted Twitter to just do what Twitter does, which is rip Archie Miller.
Do you have any favorites?
Let's see here. Let me call it back up here as my screen has gone black. Here we go with, I truly don't see a logical reason Archie Miller should keep his job at Indiana. There's been absolutely no demonstrable progress. In a must-win game, this is a good stat from Ryan Phillips. In a must-win game, Indiana shot 31.5% from the field and 2 of 20 from three-point range. That's 10% for the mathematically challenged. Those numbers are the Archie Miller era in a nutshell. The offense has been an abomination for years. Nothing new here.
Jimmy Kimmel should have him on to do a Archie Miller reads mean tweets.
Well, because there wouldn't be any nice tweets for him to read. I can guarantee you that. I am so glad this pandemic stopped me from purchasing tickets to Archie Miller's terrible basketball program. Here was Archie in the press conference last night on IU's poor shooting, says there isn't much to talk about. They didn't go in. Thanks for the insight. Asked if IU seems to be pressing right now. Not at all. Maybe they should be. Asked for a reason IU keeps coming up short. We're playing very good teams. And you're not.
Did anyone ask about the derogatory comment of bleep?
I don't know that anybody asked that. But here's the thing, and we talked about this on the last show. Archie Miller's buyout is $10.6 million. Now, I think we all know, if we use our heads here, kids, we all know one IU alum who could come up with that money in a heartbeat. And people are reaching out to Mark Cuban and saying, can you help us out here, please?
Wow.
If they needed to, I bet, I'm thinking he might.
Yeah.
Now, that said, what's Scott Tolson going to do? I don't know, but this is honestly the worst stretch of Indiana basketball I can remember in my memory, and I've lived 55 years.
55?
That means I can get the vaccine now, but not even a vaccine can protect me from watching bad IU basketball.
Basketball in our backyard at Purcell Pavilion tonight.
Notre Dame, which, again, has not played very well either. They'll take on North Carolina State. NC State has its best player out with a foot injury. Notre Dame has not won an Atlantic Coast Conference basketball game in 17 days. By the way, they haven't played a home game in 17 days either. So maybe the home cooking will be what Mike Bray's team needs. But it's a foregone conclusion that this team is not making the NCAA tournament either. The only way they would do so is to win the ACC tournament, and no realist would expect that to happen. You watched it closely.
I did.
I did not until about, I turned it on at halftime, and Michigan was already down 11, and it didn't get any better after that. Illinois, ranked number 4, embarrasses number 2 Michigan, 76-53. What did you see?
Well, I saw Baylor win, first of all, because
that was a heck of a game, I guess.
That went into the front part of the game. You know what? You've seen these games before. Something seemed off.
Yeah.
From point number one, just something seemed a little off, and one team, in my opinion, looked like they wanted it more. I think Michigan is great. I've said that here. But it just seemed like Illinois had a little extra something last night. A little secret sauce.
I think Illinois wanted to prove its worth as a number one seed.
Okay.
They wanted to get a number one seed. They're playing on the road. They have, but remember, you're playing on the road this year. It's not a hostile environment. It's a neutral environment. But you've got all the time in the world. You make the trip usually the night before. You're sitting there in the hotel room all day, thinking about what you're going to do, looking at video. You go to the shoot around. Everything's focused on the game. Michigan guys more than likely went to class or at least had to, you know, do some virtual classes, things like that. They've been playing really well. They came back from their little COVID break. They've beaten everybody since they came back from the COVID break. They're probably feeling really good about themselves and maybe didn't take the game as seriously as they should have.
Mm.
Whatever the case, Illinois was ready for Michigan, and Michigan was not ready for Illinois. And remember, Illinois was playing without its best player. So for them to do what they did to Michigan last night without their best player, that raises the eyebrows. That gets somebody to kind of look down the nose of their glasses and say, Illinois did something last night. They sent a message, and what they also did was they tied for the lead in the Big Ten. Now, the Big Ten has come out and said they'll decide their conference by percentage points. So even though Illinois and Michigan are both, I believe right now, something like 11 games above 500 in league play, the fact that the Wolverines have played fewer games bodes well for them in terms of winning the Big Ten title. If they win out, they'll get the number one seed for the Big Ten tournament. That said, Illinois definitely sent a message last night that they deserve a look as a number one seed for the NCAA tournament.
You know, you just said something that sparked something in my mind about Michigan maybe looking at this game not like it was a, you know, not that big of a deal to be worried about. I think a coach needs to tell their team, especially this season, every game counts, especially with you have no idea what's going to happen. I saw something scrolling. Isn't there another game postponed because there's contact tracing investigation? You never know what's going to happen. So every game has to be, you know, let's not worry about Illinois. Yeah, you got to worry about Illinois.
Well, and Illinois is a really good team. I mean, they were ranked number four coming in. You would think a number two versus number four showdown would get everybody's attention. And maybe I'm reading the room wrong, but that's what I saw from Michigan last night was, we're going to be fine.
I hope they don't do that on the weekend.
Well, they have two coming up with Michigan State this weekend, so I have the feeling they won't.
Yeah.
Back-to-back games against Sparty.
That's usually a big game, right?
Oh, it's always a big game.
Yeah.
Those two schools do not like each other.
Because of the bullying and the schoolyard antics?
Well, there's been the whole big brother, little brother talk on the football side.
Yeah.
And on the football side, little brother has taken big brother out back behind the woodshed and beat him up.
Had some words.
Yeah.
I passed along a quote this morning on our morning program to Chuck, and I kind of liked it, and I could actually see it in my mind's eye. Mr. Naismith said he walked into a Indiana state final with 1,500 screaming fans, obviously back in the day, and he said, basketball may have been invented in Massachusetts, but this is home base, the origin in Indiana. Hoosier hysteria.
And it got underway last night with some outstanding action. Northside Gym in Elkhart, good student sections on hand, especially for the second game, but in the first game, Marcus Burton put on a show for Penn. We showed some of the highlights on the Twitter account. He had 30 points, just completely dominated Goshen. Al Rhodes' team wins 57-25. It's going to be a much tougher time for Penn on Friday night when they have to face this Northridge team that leads the state in three-pointers made per game at 11 three-pointers made per game. In fact, that's fourth in the nation for high school teams. So much different game for Penn coming up on Friday. Elkhart got off to a great start and beat Concord 64-52. Nice turnaround season for Derek Dishon and the Minutemen this year. They had only won one game last year. They finished 10-11 this season, so a 9-game improvement. The whole program is going in the right direction. But Kyle Sears' team, just too athletic for Concord last night. Demarion Anderson, nice double-double, 14 points, 17 rebounds. Good student sections, as I said, at Northside Gym. Elkhart plays Warsaw in the second semifinal. Elkhart, that'll be interesting. The Lions lost by just 1 point to Warsaw earlier in the year, and Warsaw comes in as a red-hot team. They've won 8 in a row. Northridge and Warsaw have met for the last 2 Elkhart sectional championship games. They'll be the favorites on Friday night, but nothing is given for either team. Also last night, Michigan City oust Culver Military from the tournament. So Culver Academy, the defending sectional champion, is out at Michigan City. The Wolves, behind 18 points from Jamie Hodges, move on, and they'll face Riley on Friday night. Riley absolutely decimated City a couple of weeks ago in the regular season. A couple of games tonight at Michigan City. LaPorte takes on Mishawaka. Mishawaka is a little bit of a beat-up team right now. They do have Trent Johnson. They should be the favorite in this game, but LaPorte's playing a little bit closer to home. We'll see how Ron Heklinski's team plays tonight. The other game tonight, Adams and Plymouth. Plymouth has just had an abomination of a year. They've only won 2 games. Adams is 21-1. Nobody expects that game to be close. At Washington last night, Washington beat Jimtown, as expected, 57-39. They'll play John Glenn on Friday night. That could be an interesting game. I'll tell you what'll be an interesting game on Friday night. Marion and St. Joe. Marion had no problems with South Bend Clay last night. They have won 6 straight from their Catholic school rivals. Mark Johnson, the St. Joe coach, has announced this will be his final year. I was at St. Joe practice yesterday. Mark Johnson is feisty. He may have announced his retirement. He does not want it to be Friday night. That should be a honey of a game, and we'll have it for you on TV 46 Friday night, 11 Saturday morning at 9 this weekend. Another winner last night, Wawasee holds off arch rival Tippecanoe Valley, a big Kosciuszko County rivalry. Wawasee will face defending sectional champion Northwood on Friday night. Down in 1A, Argus and Triton cruise to easy wins. Most people expect those two teams to meet in the sectional championship game.
Let's go up to the magic glove that is Michigan.
Southwest Michigan continues to have a hotly contested basketball season. St. Joe got back on the right track last night. They got 22 from Brennan Kearns, beat Kalamazoo, Lloyd Norix 57-41. Grant Gonderzik had 21 for Lakeshore last night. They cruised to another win. Sean Schrader's team playing very good basketball. Niles got a nice win last night over South Haven. And Buchanan beat Bridgman last night, 61-43. So it continues to be one of those things where every night there's basketball being played up in Michigan Monday through Saturday, which is kind of fun because that means there's something happening all throughout that 6 weeks as teams try to cram 18 games into a 6-week season.
Do you know, are fans allowed, parents allowed at those games?
I don't think they are.
Yeah.
I know the players have to wear masks while playing in Michigan, which has caused benches to have to go a little bit deeper because when you're huffing and puffing and you're inhaling your own air, that's a little bit tougher. I personally don't agree with that, but then again, I'm not the governor of Michigan and nobody has tried to kidnap me.
Hockey.
That I'm aware of.
The day is still young.
Yes, exactly.
Hockey.
Columbus beats the Red Wings last night 4-1. Let me reiterate, the Red Wings are not very good. Blackhawks should be back in action tonight. They have been playing well, and I expect the Blackhawks to make the playoffs this year in the National Hockey League. Football note, Kyle Rudolph released by the Minnesota Vikings after 10 seasons up there. My friend Michael Birch, who now does PR for the Pittsburgh Steelers, but used to do PR for Notre Dame football here, so he has close contacts with a lot of these players, mentioned, you know, you always try to leave a place better than what you found it. And Kyle Rudolph has certainly done that in Minnesota with his charitable donations, his fundraising that he's done, his work that he's done with the Minnesota Children's Hospital up there.
Do you think he's done, Chuck?
I don't think he's done. I think he'll hook on with another team. The question is, who will go after him? Because salary caps are a little bit lower in the NFL this year because of the pandemic last year and decreased revenue. So it'll be interesting to see, okay, who makes a play for Kyle Rudolph? He certainly, I think, still got something left in the tank. Not necessarily a guy that's going to break it anymore after he makes the catch, but has really good hands and will make some tough catches. Nice big target for quarterbacks to throw to. I could see him being a fit in a place like Buffalo, maybe Cincinnati. I think there's a lot of teams that could use themselves a Kyle Rudolph, and plus he's a good guy in the locker room.
Okay. Have you had a chance to hear Boog do a game yet?
I have not, but I wanted to bring this up in talking about baseball today because The Athletic, which you and I both subscribe to, did a off-season look at all 30 major league teams and broke down, gave them a grade for their off-season. They gave the White Sox a B for their off-season moves. White Sox going out and signing a couple minor free agents, but they did get a guy named Liam Hendricks who kind of gives them an anchor at the back end of their bullpen. He is a ninth-inning game-changer. I think that's a great move for the White Sox. They went out and got a starting pitcher in Lance Lynn, double figures almost every year, right out of Brownsburg, Indiana. So you put him with Lucas Giolito and Dallas Keuchel. Now you've got really three outstanding performers at the top of the White Sox rotation. I would have given them a little bit better than a B for their offseason, maybe a B+ or even an A-. I thought they made some moves that really bolstered the weaker parts of their team. And I say that because The Athletic also gave the Chicago Cubs a B for their offseason moves. And I want to know what offseason move it was that earned the Cubs a B. Was it the signing of Jock Peterson to kind of fill Kyle Schwarber's spot in the outfield? Was it the getting rid of almost all of your starting pitchers and then signing Jake Arrieta for more money than it would have cost you for John Lester? Was it watching your arch rival, the Cardinals, go out and get Nolan Arenado, the best third baseman in the game, while you stood there and did nothing? I don't know what got the Cubs a B there, but that's not exactly the grade I would have given them.
Change in management?
Well, how is losing Theo Epstein and going to Jed Hoyer an improvement?
Maybe they know something we don't know.
Well, I hope so. I hope they're right. But I don't think they are, Corey.
Do you think it was a smart move to hire Jed?
Well, I think Jed was obviously the next in line behind Theo, and Jed was Theo's confidant. So I'm not disappointed if Theo decides to leave, which he did on his own volition, we have to believe. Jed makes sense as the hire after that. The question is, what has Jed done to improve this ball club?
Mm-hmm.
And how much are his hands tied by ownership? That might be the even greater question, because I think the Ricketts are getting to be a little bit like Mr. Krabs when it comes with the money. Yes, I threw a SpongeBob reference in there for you.
Great, because that movie's streaming now. Today's broadcast brought to you by the SpongeBob movie. What's Theo doing now?
Theo has gone to work for Major League Baseball in the commissioner's office.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
And a lot of people think that he could be a future commissioner of baseball.
Think so?
Maybe. Smart guy. That kind of concludes the sports portion of the program.
Cubs down Kansas City, White Sox, Texas end in a 5-5 tie. Detroit beats Pittsburgh 6-1 spring training baseball.
There you have it. Now to overrated, underrated. Last time out, you kind of set some parameters for this segment that I'm not sure there are a lot of groups or artists that can match, but we'll see.
It thins the herd.
Yes. Who did you have anybody
I'm
to bring
sorry.
To the table?
You'll have to give me an F for today.
What are
I just,
you?
I just wasn't ready.
What are you doing?
I had other things I had to prepare for last night. I didn't get a chance to peruse the thoughts.
I'll throw out a group. Kiss. And it's met with stone silence across the way, but a smirk.
Well, I'm trying to figure out if you think they're doing all the right stuff. The marketing, the branding, the show, you know what you're going to get. Their manager said to me a couple of years ago, and I wholeheartedly, they're the Golden Corral of rock and roll. Everyone can come in.
I'm not sure that's what I want to be.
Everyone can come in. Well, you want as big an audience as you can. You want your old guys that have been with them since the 70s to enjoy the show. You want their kids and their kids' kids to come enjoy the show. The last time I saw them, which was one of the last shows I saw in 2020, it's a clean show. It used to not be a clean show.
Okay.
And it's all the hits. There's not one song where you go, what is this? It's hit after hit after hit. It's fire and brimstone and all space rockets. And it's so much fun. You cannot underrate Kiss, though.
I don't think you can do that.
I'm giving them right down the middle. I'm throwing them the high, fast one right down the center.
I think I'm going to agree with you. I think early on in my life, I would have said overrated. But their longevity, the fact that they're still able to do this. And let's face it, when they started, incredibly unique.
Yeah.
Just nobody. And honestly, who's done it since?
Yeah.
Who's done anything like what they've done?
To the point where they stopped doing it. Continued, but then put the makeup back on, and they're bigger than they've ever been.
Right. I mean, actually, when they took the makeup off, people were like, eh.
Yeah.
Because it lost the showmanship.
The mystery.
I mean, that was always a big part of Kiss.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, in the middle of these, you know, rock and everything, they dropped Beth.
Which was a massive hit.
But it's just like, what is this?
Yes. A segment within the segment, Brush with Greatness. Some of the nicest guys you'll meet.
Really?
Some of the nicest guys, because they know me, the fan, is who got them where they're at.
Sure.
So I've done a couple of events behind the scenes with them, and incredibly nice. Incredibly. In fact, I'll tweet out the old picture with me and Kiss.
You can put that on the Sports Yak Twitter.
I'm going to put it on there. Sports Yak with two Ks, by the way.
I'm going to throw another group out there. And I know how I feel about this group right away, but I'm going to throw it out for you anyway. Culture Club.
Let me take you back to 1983.
Mm-hmm.
Video cameras were a big deal. But they were very, very expensive. So there's a couple of locations here in town that would rent you a video camera for your holiday event or fun.
And for those of you under the age of 18 right now listening to this show, just try to picture what would happen if you walked into a place today and said, can I rent a video camera?
Can I rent a video camera?
Chances are somebody would say, what's wrong with your phone?
Because the VHS went into the camera.
Yes.
And
it was quite the complex operation.
The particular
operation.
One we rented, Chuck, you could fit on your shoulder. Not to be confused with my uncle's, where you had to bring the player with you.
Yes.
So my dad rents a video camera for Thanksgiving 1983-ish. And it's a boring Thanksgiving dinner. And he goes, hey, let's head home. Mom's going to stay here. And I said, all right. We get home. My dad busts out an outfit he's been working on. Boy George.
Excuse me?
went out and purchased the 45 and had me film him in parody performing a Culture Club song in his outfit. And it's somewhere on home video in the family archives.
Wow.
Because that band was juggernaut status back in the day.
In the 80s, the other day I compared somebody to Gail Sayers, you know, short career, but
yeah,
outstanding. Culture Club, short career, but they had quite a few hits during that time.
And, of course, they benefited from the MTV audience because of the look of the person out front. But if I'm going by my scientific formula, five hits or five albums.
Well, they didn't make five albums.
They didn't make five albums that weren't hits. They had like two albums that were big. I don't know if a five. I don't know if I can name five. Do You Really Want to Hurt Me? Karma Chameleon.
Mm-hmm.
Time. Clock of the Heart or whatever that was. Miss Me Blind.
Yeah.
And
so, I mean, they're right there.
They're right there.
But
overrated.
Yeah. Yeah.
Overrated.
Absolutely.
He's still around doing things.
I know. He was on some talk show the other day.
Oh, I bet you he's got some stories.
You think? Just like you have some stories about your dad. Yeah, don't put that one on the Sports Yak page.
I can't find that footage anywhere. Don't know that I want to find that footage anywhere. And you know what? In 1983, it seemed fine. But as I was telling you, in 2021, it took a different turn.
A lot of things in 1983 seem fine that aren't fine in 2021.
Hit the subscribe button so you never miss an episode. Now, you're on Twitter, right?
I am at 46 Sports.
Me too. My name is Corey, and this little podcast has a tweet called Sports Yak with two Ks. Until next time, Yak fans.
You wanted to be done before 10 o'clock. We are done well before 10 o'clock.
I'm very busy.
Yeah. Ooga Looga, Ron Hextall.
We've had some fun. Yeah, the show is done. Now we gotta run. It's Sports Yak. Sports Yak. Sports Yak is not filmed in front of a live studio audience. We done.
Mike Rowe here with a few thoughts on my favorite sweatshirt. A classic zip-up hoodie that used to be navy blue but has since faded to what the fashionistas call a distressed indigo. It's 13 years old, soft as a flannel bathrobe, and after a few hundred dirty jobs, demonstrably and undeniably indestructible. This is the kind of sweatshirt girlfriends like to permanently borrow, but I've held on to this one because I got it from American Giant. American Giant makes all their stuff right here in the USA so they can control every link in their own supply chain. That matters, because when you buy American Giant, you not only get great quality, you create jobs for people in factory towns all over the country. No pressure, but if you give a damn about the business of making things in America, you got to support the companies who are doing it right. Go to American-Giant.com/Mike to get 20% off your first order. That's American-Giant.com/Mike.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.